Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the absentee ballot and ranked choice voting count in the New York primary this week made it clear that City Council member Antonio Reynoso won the Democratic nomination for Brooklyn Borough President. So let's do victory lap round two. There will be a general election in November against a Republican nominee, of course, but hey, it's Brooklyn. So Antonio Reynoso is overwhelmingly likely to succeed Eric Adams as the president of Brooklyn, just as Alvin Bragg is overwhelmingly likely to succeed Cy Vance as district attorney of Manhattan. One interesting electoral note, Brooklyn voters chose Adams for mayor, considered a relative conservative in that race, chose Brad Lander for comptroller, considered the progressive candidate for that, and chose Reynoso, also a progressive, who was endorsed by Bernie Sanders and the Working Families Party, for example. Reynoso, age 38, grew up in Williamsburg, raised by Dominican immigrant parents. His current city council district is the 34th, located in Bushwick and Williamsburg, as well as Ridgewood, Queens. Councilman Reynoso, thanks for coming on WNYC today, and big congratulations on your victory.
Thank you so much, Brian. Appreciate it.
Want to introduce yourself a little bit to the many listeners not familiar with you yet? Maybe start with some of your family story, like maybe how'd your parents wind up coming from the Dominican to Brooklyn?
Yes. I think the talk about where I've come from, where I am, and where I'm going, I guess, Brian, very quickly. My mother and father came here from the Dominican Republic with very little in their pockets. Welfare, food stamps, Section 8. If there was a government subsidy that existed, my family had to take advantage of it just to give their children and themselves a fair shot. It's why I'm standing here before you as a council member and a borough president representing the Democratic Party. And I want to be able to pay that forward. I want to show that good government can work for people in need. And it's kind of where I've come from. My mother and father both worked taxing jobs. My father was a line cook at a restaurant for almost his entire life. And my mother is a home health aide working with the elderly her entire life. Both minimum wage, for the most part, minimum wage jobs. We were able to make it mostly because of education, Brian. So my family really cared deeply about making sure all three of their kids went to college. And in college is where I kind of found my, I don't want to call it my calling, but just what I love to do, which is just help people, especially folks that are in need. I became a chief of staff to Councilwoman Diana Reyna, who is the council member that I preceded. Thereafter, just worked really hard in the city government related to environmental justice, police reform, and housing issues and tenants' rights. And now got the opportunity to represent all of Brooklyn, and I'm really excited for what's coming ahead and being able to really affect change in a meaningful way.
Was there ever a moment in your childhood that you now look back on where you think, you know, growing up in South Williamsburg, that's the time I got my real first inkling that I wanted to go into politics or public service?
Not as a young person. I wanted to be a teacher. So that's why I initially went to college. Brian, my family has gone through a hard time. We were in the south side of Williamsburg in the time when they wanted to close the Williamsburg Bridge because it was too dangerous. I've had family members that are, you know, deported, in jail, dead. The growing up in Williamsburg during that time was extremely difficult for me and most of my family. There's a lot of trauma that a lot of folks in this community have had for quite some time over the 80s and 90s. That were, you know, the south side. That was the south side of Williamsburg. But for some reason, the way out, the way my entire family saw it out, the generation that I am a part of, was leaving to go to a school away from New York City. So I went to Syracuse or Le Moyne College in Syracuse, and that was everybody's way out of the south side. So I knew I wanted to leave, but it was in college. There was a professor that told me that I needed to get more involved in the school. Syracuse at that time, Brian, had the lowest proficiency in English and math in all of the state during that time, East Syracuse. So the people that were teaching these mostly Latino kids, Puerto Ricans on the east side, were mostly white males. And the professor said these kids need to be able to see that folks that look like them actually went to college. They've never seen black and brown people that are from college. They only see the white males. So I decided to start an organization called Bond, Brothers on a New Direction, that actually went out and tutored these young kids. And it was through there that I saw how many people actually joined the organization, that I started noticing that I had some influence and some ability to move people. And really is when I started moving away from teaching my sophomore year to political science my junior year. And it's when it kind of like really hit me that I need to help my people and that I can influence folks in a positive way.
My guest is the winner of the Democratic primary for Brooklyn Borough President, Antonio Reynoso, and we can take some questions for him at 646-435-7280, 646-435-7280, or tweet a question at Brian Lehrer. Let me ask you to give us sort of an eight-year view of where we are right now in New York. You know, 8 years ago, as you know, was a time of great progressive hope. In the city, Mayor de Blasio is being elected as a progressor after 12 years of centrist Mike Bloomberg. Melissa Mark Viverito is about to succeed Christine Quinn as city council speaker. People like you are coming into city council as freshmen, but not counting the effects of the pandemic. So assume a 2019 world. How much progress did de Blasio and this city council make, in your opinion, toward the central quest of fighting inequality?
I think we made a lot of progress, Brian. I guess to answer that question, we got to talk about, you know, how we get there, I think was more important than getting there. The fact that in the city council during Melissa Mark Viverito's time and early on during the Cory Johnson time, we had to drag this administration on policies that ultimately they agree with or, you know, were said to agree with, right? Like we did the Right to Know Act, which was a second part of the Community Safety Act related to police reform. It took me 4 years to get that done, even though entering into the 2013 cycle, de Blasio was all in and supported and was actually was one of the co-sponsors in his time of this legislation. And it was just the work that we needed to do to get the de Blasio administration to follow through on his commitments. That was, I think, what the frustration was. These are things we should have gotten done in year one and year two, and instead we were getting done in year four, five, and six. And I think there was a lot of frustration over how long things took to get done, even though we agreed on it in principle. Looking back, and I think history is going to tell a different story than what we see now, what we believe now, what we're feeling now. I think the de Blasio administration and the 8 years that we were in council actually did a lot of good to try to address inequalities. I think the one place where we really fell short was housing and still not being able to tackle that issue in a meaningful way. We're seeing the amount of homelessness in our streets, in our city, and just it not being able to be addressed again, I think was our biggest shortfall. But outside of that, when it comes to the 3K and the work that we did with tenants' rights, a lot of the environmental justice work that we've been able to do is also meaningful. And I know you asked Alvin Bragg previously what was the difference in like lowering crime. And I just think it's opportunity, Brian. And I think that this city is still filled with opportunities for people. And what we need to do is now, if we can address this housing issue in a meaningful way and deal with the inequalities that we still see and do it deliberately instead of having to drag people through it, I think we could see more change and be prouder, I guess, of the time we had over the last 8 years.
I saw you quoted as wanting to embody former borough president Marty Markowitz's cheerleader enthusiasm for Brooklyn with the policy wonkiness of Elizabeth Warren. If I've got that quote right, would you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think a part of me feels that the work that Eric did was really laying the foundation for his run for mayor while he was in the borough president's office. I don't necessarily think that there was any redefining moment in his time as borough president outside of the healthy eating initiative that he started, which I think was meaningful.
He's certainly going to be our first vegan mayor, by the way. A lot of people don't know that yet.
Yeah, exactly. And more power to him. I'm excited for his time, and I hope we can work together to really help New York. But Marty Markowitz was Brooklyn. Everything about Brooklyn was Marty Markowitz. You know, we don't necessarily have someone tell us when spring begins or an animal tell us when spring begins. What we have is the Wonder Wheel in Coney Island. We should be doing that every single year in the borough of Brooklyn. We should be promoting the fact that we have the largest Chinese population in the entire city of New York. The Chinatown in Sunset Park is the largest, not Chinatown in Manhattan. There's so many beautiful things and great things about Brooklyn that I really don't think was shown in a positive way. And I'm talking about cultural things and things that really excite us. And I want to go back to cheerleading and making sure that people know that Brooklyn is the center of the universe and that it, you know, that's its rightful place. And we need to make sure that the rest of New York and the world knows it. So I really want to make sure that everyone knows that Brooklyn is going to be back on the map in a meaningful way. And I'm going to make sure that I highlight that. But then I'm a big nerd, Brian. I care about policy. The legislation I passed, none of it was easy. None of it was recording or reporting documents and so forth for resolutions. They were really difficult pieces of legislation that took a lot of work. So I want to be able to show that we can affect change, in a meaningful way through legislation, through policy, and affect the lives of the people that need it the most, while also making sure everyone knows that Brooklyn is the greatest borough in New York.
I heard you cast shade on Groundhog's Day there, saying we shouldn't have an animal tell us when spring begins. You may be the first politician to cast shade on Groundhog's Day. Diana in Bay Ridge, you're on WNYC with Antonio Inoso, city council member and winner of the Democratic primary for Brooklyn Borough President. Hi, Diana.
Hi, good morning. Actually, it's Diana. Hello.
I apologize.
Thank you for taking my call. Yeah. Mr. Reynoso, part of why I was so enthusiastic to vote for you are some of your policies and your ideas around environmentalism. I've been a public school teacher for 17 years here in Brooklyn, and a lot of what I teach is about environmental justice and just sustainability. I want to know, what kind of policies are you willing to take on? Obviously, it's not just a Brooklyn issue, and Department of Education is the entire city. But I'm talking about everything from composting in our schools to the tremendous amount of food waste that goes on in our schools to the fact that recycling doesn't really happen in our schools. Mm-hmm. What can you do to make our schools a place, you know, a model of a sustainability? Right now, they're really not.
Deanna, thank you so much for that question. And for folks that don't know, I chaired the Sanitation Committee for 8 years. It was one of the places that I really wanted to make sure that I could bring about change, because North Brooklyn actually handled 40% of the city's trash, and one out of 51 districts, 40% of the trash was handled in North Brooklyn. And so I care deeply about trash, and the fact that you're talking about compost really excites me. Look, this is an example of dragging the administration to a place that they already agreed with us on something. Zero waste by 2030 was something that we were supposed to be achieving. And the mayor has moved back and pushed back composting in this city for his entire time as mayor. And I just think that what we should be doing is imposing a mandatory organics across the city, composting across the city, mandatory, the same way metal, glass and plastic and paper is recycled. We should be recycling our organic waste. He's fought us every step of the way to try to get there. We'll see what the future looks like. But the way we affect change when it comes to environmental justice is with the children. If we teach the children and the students how to recycle, how to compost, and how to do the work related to sustainability, they take that on to their adult lives. They take it on to their parents, and we really see more change happen when the children are focused on that work. So we want to start with the environmental justice work and the instruction that needs to happen there at a very young age. So being able to do that at the Department of Education level can be something that will change, you know, garbage culture in our city. So I think this last budget, we've done a very good job of being able to add money to make it so that the Department of Education is going to be where we start doing universal composting in the city. So you should be seeing the infrastructure laid down right now for the Department of Education to take on composting long term. And once we do that with the young people, I can see that carried over, generationally, to be able to actually have a sustainable impact.
That's such an interesting answer. about how you approach being chair of the City Council Sanitation Committee. You know, there's that famous Mayor LaGuardia line about there being no Democratic or Republican way to pick up the garbage. Turns out that's not true, doesn't it?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that. I just think that it's hard. When it comes to trash, if you don't see it, you don't care about it, right? Out of sight, out of mind, Brian. And the Department of Sanitation has done a very good job of being able to do this basic service for the last 60 years the exact same way. What COVID did do, Brian, is that it showed us that when you take money out of the Department of Sanitation or you take resources out of it, that you can actually get dirty streets, or that the job cannot be done as reliable as we've come to know it. But what they also don't see is all the work that's happening to turn this tanker to bring the Department of Sanitation to a new age. For example, Ryan, right now everyone hates the fact that trash is in the streets. They complain about it all the time that we have to walk through garbage. Containerized trash on parking spots is the way that modern cities have already figured out how to handle their rat problem, the visual problem of trash. The fight we have is no one wants to lose parking spaces over trash, over being able to have a better solution for trash. And that is a very, you know, I want to say lefty-righty issue, and something that I want to start curing for in community boards. So I'm really excited about that as well.
Rob in Brighton Beach, you're on WNYC with Antonio Reynoso, Democratic nominee for Brooklyn Borough President. Hi, Rob.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Councilman Reynoso. This is Rob Burstein from Public School 196, and I'm calling to ask a question, but first I want to say, as an educator for 34 years in your district, I just wanted to reinforce from personal experience what you indicated at the beginning, your responsiveness to educational needs. In my career, there's rarely been a public servant in that district who has been as responsive to educators and kids. So thank you for that. And my question regarding education is, in your new role, assuming that you win the election, which we do, since you have been a big supporter of public schools and averse to charter schools to some degree as a progressive, and Mayor Adams has quite a different view, how will you perceive that you're going to best interact with him in the best interests of kids?
And I'll just say, we can't call him Mayor Adams yet. We can't even call him Mayor-elect Adams yet. He's mayoral nominee Adams, so just for the record. But go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that question, Rob. I think there's going to be a common interest with everyone that was elected this cycle. And it's to recover, right, to bring New York back or bring New York back better. And I want to start my time, should I win, working with the potential mayor, Eric Adams, and seeing what ideas we have that are in common that we could actually do in a good way to help solve our problems. The last thing you want is this relationship that the governor and the mayor have made it impossible for us to get, you know, things done in places that need it, like the MTA, like NYCHA, and so forth. I don't want to start that my relationship or my time as the borough president. I'm fighting. I want to start it working. I want to build a coalition to actually get things done. And where we agree, let's agree, let's get it done. And where we don't, let's discuss it and try to do better. Education is going to be one of those places. But at the end of the day, the charter school conversation is really a state issue. It truly is. Like, the way we're going to be able to have a conversation about lifting the cap and all these other things, that all happens at the state level. What we need to do is make sure that the proficiency rates of students in mostly black and brown poor neighborhoods are not at below 20%, that our kids are not reading or doing math at grade level. And those type of things we can really start addressing at a ground level. So I want to work with the potential mayor as the potential borough president in the places that we agree and do the best we can to make change happen there. And I want to do my job as an advocate to be able to go to the state and let them know how I feel we should be addressing our education problem, which is what I see right now, especially in poor neighborhoods in our city.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio. We have a few minutes left with, and let's face it, he's going to be the Brooklyn Borough President, and Eric Adams is going to be the mayor. So the Democratic nominee.
Thank you, Brian.
The Democratic.
It's official. When you say it, it is official, Brian. So thank you so much.
I only made a prediction, but soon we'll call Eric Adams mayor, and we'll call you president. So Asante in Brooklyn is probably going to be our last call before we run out of time. And then, listeners, we have coming up an assessment of Marvin Gaye's classic song, What's Going On, which turns 50 this year. And we'll talk about its enduring impact. And we'll also talk about Sha'Carri Richardson not going to the Olympics and the underlying issues there. But Asante in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with future President Reynoso.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So my commentary and question is about waterfront access. Just for context, I'm a fisherman. I have a lot of friends. We fish. They have kids. I live in downtown Brooklyn, and every time I go to Brooklyn Bridge Park, I get harassed. I'm like 5 minutes away, and like it's to the point now I don't even want to go. And I'm African American, and I take my white fiance with me so I don't get harassed. And during the pandemic, when you think that waterfront access would be, you know, like open, you could go out for an hour before work or whatever. And like, this is very emotional to me because I went to school for marine biology and I fished with my grandfather as a kid. I get harassed. They're like, go somewhere else. You can't fish here. Then the park was under construction. And then, you know, like one time I was there, the guy asked me for my license and the guy next to me has an illegal fish, which is a ticket. And he doesn't even stop and ask him. And this is the park police. And all across the boroughs, I noticed that places that should be for waterfront access for families and kids, it's like being closed down. I just can't understand it. And my last point on this, there's a place in Staten Island where Debbie Rose is the council member that's also been closed down for 3 years. But my last thing that highlights this story is there was a gentleman named Jamie, and he's like, I love to come here. He comes from Sheepshead Bay. He said, this is such a great spot. And I would bring my neighbor's son here, but every time I come, I get harassed. And this is without me talking to him. And I'm like, well, tell me what's going on. He said, every time I come, I get harassed. And the guy said they were going to give me a $250 ticket. And I said, I've never heard of that. It's not on the books as far as I know. And he said, I'm a poor guy. I can't pay that. And I asked him his name. And I said, I'm your advocate for this. I've emailed the mayor's office. I emailed candidate Maya Wiley. I talked to Joanne Simon's staff. Like, this is it's not that big of a deal, but it is like, if you like the water, like who deserves to get access to the water in New York? What has happened at Brooklyn Bridge Park? I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you so much. You. Councilman.
So there's so many layers in that work. And look, there's this implicit bias that obviously exists. And you know, the last thing you want to do, to any black person doing work that is not necessarily illegal, but just calling the cops or harassing, really is how what we need to do when it comes to like the work with the NYPD and just what it means to make a 311 call versus a 911 call, to know the effect and the trauma in the lives of one type of people versus another, or you know, black and brown people versus you know, white people. I just, people really need to be very careful about, you know, harassing folks, especially when they're doing something that's extremely harmless and, if anything, beneficial to us in the city of New York. So the first thing is just addressing that in a more meaningful way. And I don't necessarily know how we're going to do that. I'm looking forward to a more progressive council that can figure that out. The other thing is waterfront access. It's about knowing what parts of this city are accessible to people publicly along the waterfront. And if we don't know that, they should be posted. We should have information readily available to people so they know what they can and cannot do. And if the waterfront is not accessible, we should start working towards that. That is something that we should be doing. And the big thing we have with this environmental justice conversation is that the people that have access to waterfronts and the people that have access to be able to do these types of things are very affluent and people that have a lot of political influence, which is something that I'm trying to change. I'm trying to spend more time in the places that need the resources, that need my time, as opposed to the places that already have the political resources and affluence and so forth. So this is the first time I'm hearing about this one issue, but waterfront access is something I really want to start addressing as borough president. And I want to do it by making sure that everyone gets access to it, not just a few. So it is something that I will have a plan for, like Elizabeth Warren, hopefully within the first year. I will make sure that I clearly outline what we can and can't do on our waterfronts. And when we can't do something, work towards making it a reality.
And Asante, thank you very much for your call and letting more people know about that issue. Let me wrap up with you with sort of a pure politics question, which is, what do you think about these election results overall? I mentioned in the intro the apparent paradox of Brooklyn voters mainly choosing Eric Adams for mayor, considered a relative conservative in this context, although I always say we're still talking about the context of New York City Democrats. You know, it's not like he's Matt Gaetz or something like that. But still, Eric Adams for mayor, relative conservative in this context, progressive Brad Lander for comptroller, and progressive you for borough president. How do you explain it? And what do you make of the many articles that have been written with the Adams victory about progressives claiming to speak for majority black and brown working class interests, but then the votes go to candidates like Eric Adams and Joe Biden?
Yeah. Look, I think that it doesn't necessarily need to be this progressive versus, you know, moderate conversation when it comes to this, like, mayor, borough president, and comptroller. I've won districts overwhelmingly where Eric Adams was the number one vote getter in that area as well. And I've had other areas where Maya Wiley was doing well and where Diane Morales won in parts of my district. So I just think that we're so obsessed that we really want to know how it happened or why this split happened. I just think Eric did a very good job in his campaign at outlining a message that resonated with the most amount of people. We did that locally as well. And if you look at the work that, you know, our comptroller Brad Lander, myself, like with the work we did, was like very clear messaging regarding our progressive policies and politics. At the mayor's level, outside of Dan Morales, that didn't necessarily happen. A lot of people were playing, you know, trying to play both sides or really be more moderate than what they truly are, what they could have been. So I just think, look, our messaging is about helping the people that need the most help. That worked for us. For him, it was about, you know, bringing about safety and doing that in a way that is comprehensive and doesn't infringe on the rights of black and brown people. And that worked as well. I just thought it was two messages that were both resonated that ended up getting us a victory. It's a lot more complicated than that, for sure, Brian, but I just don't want it to be this idea that, you know, you can't elect an Eric Adams and Tony Reynoso. Like, that can't happen or that's unusual. It isn't. It's good messaging. It's good campaigning in a city that only has, you know, less than 20% of the people vote. Again, I think it was just good campaigning. He did a very good job with his message, and I think Brad and I did well with our message.
Antonio Reynoso, now the Democratic nominee for Brooklyn Borough President. We look forward to speaking to you many times once you're in office.
Thank you so much, Brian. Take care.